There was a spinoff question from last night's video regarding the ability to handcuff somebody during an investigatory detention and not causing or significantly, well, I don't say significantly, but won't erupt into a full-blown arrest, de facto arrest, you know, and there was things we discussed about what caused that. There was a spinoff question. I'm going to read it here. Let me just read it, and then I'll address it as I go along. I actually have to open up something else and paste it. So hold on 1 second. It had to do with Miranda, by the way. Like, that's what it had to do with. There was some answers given to it, but let me elaborate on Miranda a little bit. So this is what it says. Dennis, would slapping handcuffs on someone during an investigation make the interview custodial in the eyes of Miranda? That's a very broad question. So the first question is, and I think he addresses as we go on, is what type of investigation? We have Berkman v. McCarty, which if it's a motor vehicle stop, I mean, really, it's always going to depend on the circumstances that surround the incident, right? So if it's a motor vehicle stop, people aren't entitled to having their Miranda rights recited to them until the point of an arrest. And then Mike Brazil, who's one of our instructors, wrote in there, or believes they're in a position that they're not free to leave and will be in custody. So that's an interesting question. I'm gonna back this up with some interesting stuff that will help you fix what to do in these situations. Therefore, requiring an advisement of their rights if you plan on asking questions to elicit an incriminating response. Remember, Miranda kicks in when you have custody plus interrogation. Again, just to reiterate, a motor vehicle stop is not considered custody that requires Miranda. Custody occurs when you have enough probable cause to arrest somebody. Or, funny enough, some states say it's not even at the point where you have enough probable cause. It's the point where the person believes that they are under arrest or are in actual formal police custody. Okay. And he says, I think I've answered my own question. On an MV stop conducting your stop and you develop RES/PC. See, that's interesting because you're saying RES/PC. That's two different questions there, right? That's RAS is not required. It's not something that triggers Miranda. It's PC, but custody. So you can't arrest on reasonable suspicion. You can arrest on probable cause. It's more oriented towards a crime rather than an MV violation. Where Miranda was not required for questioning in a motor vehicle setting, does Miranda now kick in once you have begun conducting a criminal investigation? Again, Miranda doesn't kick in merely because you have a criminal investigation. Because just because you're suspicious of a crime based on reasonable suspicion, you don't have custody yet. Custody occurs when you have probable cause to make an arrest. Keeping it simple and say that you stop an MV for equipment violation. Can you ask questions regarding the stop without Miranda? Of course you can. Berkman v. McCarty. I haven't found a state yet that did not sign up or agree with the United States Supreme Court in the ruling in Berkman v. McCarty. And I'll explain what Berkman was. Subject is found to be in possession of controlled dangerous substance. Can you ask questions regarding the possession of the controlled dangerous substance without violating Miranda? No. At that point now, once you've found the thing that you're looking for and you've created a nexus between the person and the crime that was discovered, right? You're beyond reasonable suspicion. Now you're into probable cause that allows you to search the entire car, whatever it may be, or actually make the arrest or cite and release, whatever it may be. They're going to be entitled to their Miranda rights being recited to them before asking incriminating questions. Let me reverse a little bit. People always ask, and it's a hard thing for people to understand, we've done videos on this in the past, when's a good time to read Miranda? If you're having a hard time being able to decide at what point Miranda should kick in, what I can tell you is this. Although I'm not advocating to give it away too early when you don't need it, but if you're at a point where you think you need it, go ahead and just read it. Why? Because the courts have said reciting Miranda to a defendant prematurely would never affect or impact your case negatively. It would actually show the police officer having concern and having due diligence to ensure that the person, the defendant who's making a statement to the police officer, knew his rights and adequately waived them. Even if he was not needed to read those at that time, it shows a police officer taking proactive steps towards ensuring that he did not violate the law. So it could never hurt your case to read Miranda. It could never. But you do want to know when it does kick in, and that's when custody occurs. Interestingly enough, the U.S. Supreme Court leaves the interpretation of custody very vague. So it's going to be a state-by-state basis on what they've said Miranda when it kicks in. Interestingly enough, there's times where in one state, the circumstances that occurred, it would clearly be a time where Miranda would have to kick in. And then in other states, I'm reading them. I'm like, man, they don't even need Miranda during this. Like there was one out of Texas where there was like a motorcycle pursuit. They dumped the bike. The cop got off, handcuffed them, stuck them in the back of the car. And this is, I believe this is Texas. And asked them some questions. And they tried to suppress those responses. And the court said, no, no, they weren't in custody yet. They were just still under the investigatory detention while they investigated the crime. And I'm like, man, that's crazy. But in other states, not so much. But to end the debate, just read Miranda. And if you're a police officer, patrol division officer, and you're not in the practice of reading Miranda, I suggest that you get in the practice of it, right? It's a really important tool for us to use. And you're a cop. You have to do it. I know that there are some police departments, which iterates why I say over and over again, to stay away from large city police departments. You want to stay way clear away from any large city PDs. If you work at one and you're going to pretend like it doesn't suck there, that's fine. You can be in denial all you want. But I can tell you from being around for 20 years and speaking and seeing and being close to those agencies, what they once were, they aren't anymore. And they're under extreme scrutiny and they really, really cut their police officers off the legs and handcuff them from doing any kind of proactive work. But if you're an agency that has good administrative support and they're going to allow you to be adults, which a lot of agencies don't allow their police officers to be adult human beings, they treat them like children. It's an important tool to know and how to use it appropriately. We talk about it in class. By the way, quick side note, streetcop.com, look up upcoming courses. There's nothing that irritates me more than when somebody's like, hey, I had it last night. You coming to Maryland anytime soon? I'm like, yeah, next week. It's not the guy's fault. It's our fault. We're trying to figure out how to make sure everybody knows when we're coming to your area. So streetcop.com, we have a lot of stuff. Go to the program section. We have a lot of stuff coming up. You'd be surprised. You're probably closer than you think we are. Can we have this? What would you consider a large department? When I say a large department, I'm talking about major U.S. city department, right? Baltimore PD, NYPD, Philly PD, Washington, D.C. Big police departments like that are never going to be in the best interest of the cops. I mean, really, they are just not. And Chicago PD, right? Like, you want to stay away from these places. And what draws them in is they pay more than everybody else. But guys, like, you know, like, it's not worth it, right? There are so many other options besides working for these large PDs. And a lot of people say, oh, like, especially, I get why guys from Jersey go to NYPD because it's very hard to get a job in Jersey. And they get impatient and they go and take the NYPD test. And then they're stuck there. I had a guy recently send me an email. He's like, yo, are you hiring? I have 13 years in the NYPD. I'm done here. Can I do something at your company? I'm like, dude, why don't you just finish it up? He's like, no, I'm done. I don't want to work here anymore. And you get stuck there. Now you're stuck. You can't go. And I hear that over and over again from NYPD guys. Dude, I was in Jersey. I took the New York City test. I got here. I never was able to come back. You know, sometimes you just got to make the decision to cut loose and move on. But, like, especially in Maryland, there's so many Maryland police departments hiring that don't have enough personnel. Why would you pick Baltimore, right? Like, because why? Because a recruiter got you at some fair? These are not agencies that are going to be optimal for a great career in law enforcement. I don't care what you say. I mean, we see it. You don't have to hide it. We hear it. It's on the news. Your district attorneys, your people who are prosecutors, they hate cops. So you're up against a more difficult fight to do proactive work. Let me go back to this. And I just want to recite Berkemeyer a little bit for everybody here. And you know what's interesting? I can't see the comments. I'm going to have to look at my, again, I can't look at my phone. I'll have to answer the questions and comments after this, but what happens in Berkemeyer is this. Berkemeyer v. McCarty, in a nutshell, was a U.S. Supreme Court case. And I believe McCarty was the sheriff or vice versa. That's how the case was labeled. It was the sheriff versus the defendant. And it was a stop for a DWI or a drunk driving incident. And the police officer on the side of the road asked Berkemeyer about intoxication, right? We have a case here in New Jersey at a Seaside Heights. Jesus, what is it off the top of my head? I can't think of it. Similar case, similar circumstances. It's a Greek name too. I'm pretty sure it is. I have it right at the tip of my tongue. Tennessee Side Heights for sure. But the cop asked questions about intoxicants on the motor vehicle stop. The man is subsequently arrested after failing field sobriety testing. He's arrested and transported back to the county workhouse or the county jailhouse. And then he's re-interviewed again and gave more statements about illicit drug use. And those statements were brought to court and used against him in the court of law. And it was argued and challenged and appealed all the way up through the court system, made its way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court made a decision and said, hey, look, a traffic stop, while he was on that stop and he was asking questions related to possible intoxication, that stuff wasn't protected by Miranda. However, custody is custody. What we said is, if you're in custody and you're being posed questions designed to elicit an incriminating response or a confession, that requires Miranda, even if it's for something as simple as a motor vehicle violation. So that's where we get it from. You don't need to recite Miranda on a traffic stop. The crazy thing is, I cannot tell you how many people around this country think you do. And these are the things that, like, not only motivate me and irritate me, but, like, remind me of why I do what I do and what we're just sharing. Nobody's sitting here, pretending to be some guru, amazing. These are some simple things that people don't know that hinder police officers in their ability to perform their job better, right? In a more adequate fashion, to ensure that suppressions don't occur, to ensure that they don't look embarrassed when they show up to court and police officers go, I didn't know you couldn't do that, right? Like, you're talking about, I really firmly believe, the understanding of 50 important cases for every police officer in this country would certainly change, at a very minimum, a lot of things. Is it going to solve the whole issue? No, absolutely not. But, like, having the know-how to understand and apply 50 pieces of case, well, I say that number 50 because I really believe it's 20 that will really help you, but I think at 50 you can have a real good understanding and maneuver quite nimbly through police work, confidently. Scenario, you have a guy who committed a hit and run. You have witness statements and video and plenty of probable cause for an arrest. State's attorney's office is asking you to obtain a confession before charging. Cook County, Illinois. Shocker. Guy voluntarily comes to the police station. Detective supervisors don't read him Miranda. If he doesn't give a statement, arrest him for the PC. Knowing he was going to be arrested regardless, I went ahead and read Miranda anyways against supervisor's wishes. Subject confessed. If you know you're going to arrest someone regardless and the situation accused is non-custodial environment, should you read Miranda? I say yes only because you're going to arrest anyways. Why chance it? I agree with you. I think that's really, really good practical advice. We have a piece of case law that came out recently here in New Jersey where the person was brought in under the guise of they weren't going to be arrested and sat in like it was a regular confession and kind of tricking him. But they didn't tell him that there was already charges pressed against him. This police department thinks they were getting slick. Didn't read Miranda, and everything that he confessed to was suppressed. So as I said to you earlier, the reciting of Miranda to somebody could never hurt your case. It could only help it. It's a safety net. And guess what? People will talk to you when you read Miranda, as long as you have good communication. As this gentleman, Daniel Young, on the Facebook group just advised us he did. That goes down to really, really a better way to step up and understand that just because somebody is wearing something on their shirt that you get paid more for, or they get to act differently, or they don't have to respond to calls anymore, doesn't mean they actually know what they're talking about. We hope they do, but humility is a rare trait in law enforcement, but those who possess it possess great power. It is the truth. We try, I know that you may perceive like we're coming off as people with not humility. I don't know if we're ever really presenting that or portraying that image, but we're not. We have a lot of humility, right? We're just trying to do our best to help everybody get better. We are addressing the issues in order to correct them. Some people don't like hearing that, right? Because it hurts their feelings, because it is them. They're the ones who are hindering the progression of law enforcement. But we've got changes to make. My brother-in-law is in academy now, and he just told me they just revised their defensive tactics thing since 1998. So 22 years later, they're using the same programs. And there's just no way that things that are 22 years old as far as an academy taught based program can still hold the test of time without progressing or making improvement. It just doesn't work that way, right? It's just simple business principles. If you're not progressing, you're not going with the times. I think I don't have any more questions. If you have questions you want me to answer, you can go ahead and write into me. I'm going to try to get back here one more time today to cover any more topics. We have plenty of stuff to do. I'm going to try to do more live videos as we go along. If you have questions, and by the way, if you don't agree with this, do me a favor, send me the information over that dictates what I've advised in this video is incorrect, because we certainly have just referenced where things come from, right? in order to dispute or dispel what I'm saying, you just have to show up with facts, right? Just to hold your facts up and say, hey, here's the facts. What you said was incorrect. But yesterday's video or the 630 videos I've done so far, I haven't anybody come and hold something up and say it differently because I don't open my mouth unless I know it says something somewhere in writing. In the state of Florida, if someone is staying at a residence where the owner died 3 years prior and there's no evidence that the person is supposed to be living there, what are the actions that can be taken? Considering they have been paying taxes, would this fall under criminal investigation or would you say it's better to go civil? So what's the part? Are we talking about an eviction? Is that what you're trying to do? So if it's an eviction, right, I don't know about the state of Florida. I stay within my lane. But in New Jersey, this would be an eviction process. But who wants them out? Who's the complainant? What are the details? Very, very broad question. Hard for me to answer. But they are going to have, I don't know what your squatter's rights are. I don't know what the civil infraction, what the civil laws say, what eviction court says. You know, there's a lot of things, Shane, that are open to interpretation there. And again, I know people like to pose very broad questions, and that's fine. But a lot of these require answers according to the circumstances of the case, right? There are so many different routes you can go and things to think about. And ideally, when you know case law, you know exactly what to do because you've read somewhere that's what you're supposed to do. Or you go, oh, you know what? That hasn't been decided yet. I don't recall reading that. But let me read Miranda anyway because I don't know if this is going to be the point in this. And court said that like Miranda was okay to read prematurely, would hurt your case. So let me just try to say, make sure I don't find myself in a suppression hearing. And I'll say this over and over again. The formation of new case law most of the time is based on existing lack of knowledge of police officers, police departments, prosecutors, district attorneys, not knowing what the law already said. Here's another question over here on Facebook Live. I'm sorry, Instagram Live. Can you send me the case that you discussed in Cook County, please? I work in Cook County. It sounded like something I should review. That guy, you know, do me a favor. You have to send me. His name is Weiginol on Instagram. That comes out of the Facebook group over here on the left. You have the Instagram going on the right. The guy who wrote that is Shane. If you join our group, it's Daniel Young. I don't know if you're a prosecutor there, but maybe he'll help you out. Daniel Young, you could look for Weiginol on Instagram. Sounds like you guys have some commonalities there. Without further ado, guys, I will be here throughout the Labor Day weekend. I will be doing videos. If you want something addressed, let me know. Thank you all for being here.